Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, let's get into our teaching tonight. Praise the Lord. We're talking about seated in heavenly places is the title of the series, and we're talking about the believer's authority. I want to go over to Luke, first off, chapter 10, and that's where we started out. And this is the purpose of tonight is to teach and to establish foundational truth in you. So when as we're teaching and ministering the word, don't just be in your head. You're not just gathering head knowledge. This will feed your spirit, and it'll enlighten your mind to what you all who you already are in Christ and what you possess. One of the things Brother Hagin said in one of his books on the believer's authority, he said one of the most the greatest amount of fight that he got from the enemy was when he went to study the authority of the believer, because it was so significant. Because Satan does not want you to realize what you have. In fact, what the Lord has already given you. Amen. And so we're going to look at scriptures, and the scripture brings light to us, and it transforms our thinking. And I'm just going to pray real quick, and you want to agree with me, and we'll have our lives changed tonight. How many can agree with that? Okay, so you didn't come just to observe, okay, and see if I have something. I studied today. I prayed today. In fact, I'll share some things that the Lord gave me when I was praying. But the Lord will meet expectation. And as we expect together, he'll help us. You can be freer by the end of tonight than you were when you walked in. See, I'm for that. I'm talking about for me. I'm really for it for you too, but for me as well. I like to be more free. Amen? It's just good that way. So let's pray. Father, we just come before you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that we can come boldly to the throne of grace and mercy. Lord, we thank you for mercy. We thank you for grace. Lord, we thank you for the gifts of the Spirit. We thank you for the teaching of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. I'd ask that you just lead us and guide us into all truth. We give our eyes over to you, our ears over to you. We listen intently and are aware and are looking for answers actively from an expectant heart of faith. Lord, reaching out in faith to you, knowing that you never disappoint. You're always faithful. You watch over your word and perform it. You set your angels and they encamp round about us. We are not alone. We're never alone. Lord, you're always with us, and you're in us, and we're thankful and grateful for that. So, Father, tonight, I just ask that you'd give me utterance and boldness to speak as I ought to speak. I yield to speak the truth in love according to your word, and I thank you, Lord, that as we do, that your anointing will continue to move and operate, and your word sets and makes free and keeps free. And, Lord, as we see these truths, we will not be hearers only, but doers of your word as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Luke chapter 10, verse number 17 says this, when the 72 disciples returned, they joyfully reported to him, Lord, even the demons obey us when we use your name. Yes, he told them, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Look, I have given you authority over all the power of the enemy, and you can walk among snakes and scorpions and crush them. Nothing will injure you, but don't rejoice because evil spirits obey you. Rejoice because your names are registered in heaven. Now that's the New Living Translation. The New King James says this. It says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. You know, we should rejoice over our salvation greater than our authority. And that's one of the things that the Lord was pointing out there. Because the greatest work that the Lord has performed for us is us being born again, our salvation. So I want to talk about, last week we talked about what is authority. And we went over some of the Ephesians prayers. And we had mentioned, you know, you want to pray those Ephesian prayers daily if you can. Take time. It only takes a few minutes. You can do it by your bedside before you get in bed. And then also read the first three chapters of Ephesians repeatedly. We shared some different passages of Scripture and some testimonies about gentlemen like Smith Wigglesworth and others who have who used their authority and gave testimony to experiences and things that had happened in their life where they used the authority of the Lord and drove the enemy out. And we can do that as well. 1 John 4:4 says this, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is what? Greater than he who is in the world." Now, this is the thing about the spirit of wisdom and revelation that we need, because oftentimes I find through the years, not only with myself, but then with others, is that we acknowledge and agree mentally with these verses, but we don't ever walk in the fullness of what we could. And this is where the act or the walk of faith comes in. You know, if you are weak in an area in walking in love, then you need to practice that truth. Not out of trying to get that truth into you, but rather trying or rather working from what is already in you to strengthen that fruit. Okay, so fruit grows, right? And you have the fruit of the Spirit within you. So if you're weak in an area, you need to practice or do or act in faith on the Word in that area. And that's what produces growth of that in your life. You can be an impatient person, and a year from now, people could go, "What happened to you?" Because you've practiced and put to work the Word of God in your life. And what happens is when you do that, it begins to remove that old nature and the soul out of you, and the Holy Spirit that is within you, the resurrection power that is within you, begins to not only infiltrate, listen to me, the way you act in the sense of your actions or your words, it actually gets over into your nerve endings. It actually gets over into the way that your physical brain connects. Okay? Now, you guys have, you've probably heard of Dr. Carolyn Leaf. Some of you probably have. And she is a, I guess, a neurologist. She's a brain doctor. She's smart. So, but she loves the Lord very much. And not only her, but then even secular medicine has, doctors have discovered that the brain doesn't ever stop responding and growing, in the sense of you can retrain, rewire your brain at any age. That's what they've discovered medically. Now, the Bible has known that for a long time. But you know, I know the Lord, and he's very merciful, so he'll give the revelation to the medical field so that all the people that are suffering in that area will go, "Oh, here it is." And the whole time he was going, "I knew that." You know, so, but he's merciful and he's good like that, and he'll do anything he can to help and to bless as far as he possibly can. So things can change in you. I heard a minister say, people will quote this like it's a scripture. You can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's not in the Bible. It's not there. Okay. The Bible says, "Be not conformed, but be transformed." Which is the exact opposite of you can't teach an old dog new tricks. And besides that, you're not an old dog. You're a new creation. Okay, you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. And the ability of God, the resurrection of Christ within you, and we're going to see this, and it makes me want to jump up and down, but I'm going to stay on task. Okay, so, but what you'll see is that the actual resurrection of Christ, all that strength, that power of God that raised Christ from the dead, now lives in you. Okay? And so that anointing can make you smarter. Come on, I'm believing for it. I mean, not just for you, for me. Absolutely. I want to have answers like Jesus had answers. I have a level, a mark set for me on where I'm supposed to live from in every area of my life, and the standard is Jesus Christ. Now, listen to me. I'm not trying to get there. I'm working from there to develop into that level of maturity. You say that all the time. I know it is vitally important that you understand that you have already been born again and that Christ lives in you. If you are ever trying to get to what Christ has done for you, you'll never get there. That's the works of the law. If you could have done it on your own, there would have been no need for Jesus. Okay? You need Jesus. Why? Because you don't just need a you didn't just need a change in the way that you live your natural day-to-day life. You needed a divine intervention that would blow the devil straight out of you and plant the seed of the resurrection down in your heart. And that's what we needed. And out of that comes the renewal of the mind and then the power of the resurrection to dominate the flesh. Amen. People say, well, if I'm not a sinner, why do I still want to sin? See, you're identifying with your natural man, not your spirit. In other words, I'll put it to you like this. You're identifying with the tent you live in rather than you. Okay? And so this takes effort. This takes faith. If you're gonna increase in these areas and in the things of God, you have to be a fighter. You got to have a fight in you. Now, I'm not talking about fighting people. I'm talking about fighting the good fight of faith. Amen. And understanding who your enemy is. There has to be something on the down on the inside of you that stirs up from the resurrection. See, it's already in you, but you begin to recognize the resurrection of Christ within you, and you'll realize that inside of you is this almost humming power that has a strong desire to take out everything of the enemy in your life. And I'm not talking about people. I got to keep repeating that. I think Paul did too. He said, remember, your battle's not against flesh and blood. Because this is the tendency of humanity to go, that's my battle right there. That guy, he's the one. No, they're not your enemy. Your enemy is Satan and his demons. Amen? So we need to be in that place where we're ready, we're willing, we're fighting, we're moving forward. And it really is. And this is how it started for me years and years and years ago. Years and years ago, I used to be addicted to pornography because I was educated in it when I was young. And so I was struggling to get over that and to win that. So finally, I'm like a pit bull. You know what a pit bull, you know its advantages, right? Lockjaw, right? Once I bite down, nothing is going to stop me until I have a manifestation of freedom. And so it took me probably about 3 years to totally get a hold of that thing and just annihilate it. But I just found that scripture. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. And then when I would mess up, I'm talking about at Bible college. Come on, don't let condemnation stop you. God is not in heaven going, oh, that's it. I'm done with him. I did everything for him. God is not insecure and immature. He's in heaven going, oh, that's going to hurt, Sean. I'm like, yeah, no. Throne of grace and mercy. You know, help me, Lord. So to where today, I have no problem. You say you're beyond temptation? No. I've conquered it. Now, listen to me. I tapped into the conquer that's already in me. Okay? And I don't let the devil beat me up, ever. Never let the devil beat me up. It's not his, I'm not his kid. So we have authority. We have strength. We have that ability on the inside of us as we tap into it by faith, by the grace of God, to be able to overcome these things. And man, I mean, talk about, I love living free. It's nice. You know what I mean? It's nice. And so there's hope for every person. And there's people have issues. You know, if you want to find a church with no issues, you'll show up and mess it up. So anyway, so everybody has something that they're working on, and that's okay. The Lord's working with them. So don't think the Lord's quit you because he hasn't. Amen. So in prayer today, these are some of the things I heard. Our enemy is defeated and we have been seated. I was praying that out. I kept praying that out for you guys. Recognize where you are, or recognize where you are seated and how high up over your enemy you are. How high up over your enemy it is. Recognize where you're seated in heavenly places, far above. Now, the spirit of wisdom and revelation is going to have to help you with that so that you can see it. But don't argue with the word of God. Amen? So, and we'll read those passages of scripture to you. Let's go to Matthew 28:16. And if you're taking notes, you can just put seated with Christ is what we're going to talk about. Seated with Christ. Matthew chapter 28, verse number 16 says this. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. So there's hope for us all. Because even the apostles doubted, or the disciples. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority. How much of it? All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Watch what he does now. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the age. So Jesus, after he was crucified and raised from the dead, he declared, all authority has been given unto me in where? Heaven and on earth. Both. Do you see that? Heaven and on earth. And he said, all authority has been given to me. And that word authority is the same one in the King James Version is probably translated power, and that's not a good translation. It should say authority. It's exousia. And I'm probably saying that wrong, but it's something like that. Okay? And what it means is mastery, jurisdiction. Thayer's Greek lexicon says the power of rule or government. The power of rule or government, okay? So Jesus has been given that authority. All means the whole. It means W-H-O-L-E, the whole thing. And so all authority, the whole authority has been given to who? Jesus. Do you know what I find interesting about this verse or this section of scripture? Verse 19, I have all the authority, Jesus says, now you go. That's like, Lord, you got it all, you go. But he doesn't do that, does he? He immediately does what? He immediately delegates his authority to who? The church. People say, no, the church is the disciples. No, they were the first church. They were the first. I mean, Jesus was the first one born again. I'd like to know who was second, but I don't know for sure. I'm thinking it was probably one of the ladies that went to the tomb because the men were still kind of dense. I haven't figured it out yet. But anyway, the Lord did what? He immediately delegated that authority. So he said, you go ahead and you're my hands and feet, go. Now he's telling this to a group of men that he had told this to previously in Luke chapter 10, right? A group of ministers that had heard earlier, which we just read, he said, I've given you all authority over the power of the enemy. And he says, now all authority has been given to me. Now I'm going to give it to who? You. I'm going to give it to you. And now you go and do this, okay? So when Christ ascended, he transferred his authority to the church. He is the head of the church, and believers make up the body. Christ's authority has to be perpetuated through his body, which is on the earth. Okay? And we're going to see this as we look at different passages all along here. Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father, the place of authority, and we're seated with him. If you know anything about history, you know that to sit at the right hand of the king or the pope means authority. That's what it means. That's what it stands for. We died with Christ. We were raised with him. This is not something God is going to do in the future. He has already done it. Okay? As he is, so also are we in this world now. Okay? So you have a place of authority. Mark chapter 16, verse 14, we see it again here. Later he appeared to the 11 as they sat at the table, and he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they what? Will recover. So what do we see here? We see, now in Matthew 28, it's the Great Commission. It's part of the commission. And Matthew or Mark 16 is the same thing. But what do we see when we put these two together? We see a more full expression of the authority that Jesus had in delegating that to the church. Does that make sense? So in other words, you're not only seeing one part where he says, I have all authority in heaven and earth, but you're also seeing the commission. You know, it's the Great Commission, not the Great Suggestion. It's a commission. You're to go into all your world and preach the gospel. Now people think, well, I'm not a pulpit preacher. You're missing it. Your face preaches the gospel. Your words preach the gospel. If you're like John Konosky, your Jesus pin preaches the gospel. Okay? There are Jesus pins available at the back, at the welcome table. Take one on the way out. All right? But what I'm saying is that start out by just being nice to people. Amen? Start there. And then move step by step. Let the Lord help you be more bold step by step. You know what I mean? Don't allow, I'll just help you with this. If you feel afraid witnessing to somebody, do it with the feeling of fear. Amen? Because if you do, you'll help break that in your flesh, and you'll also send a message to the enemy, oh, we thought we had him there, but we don't. Amen. You don't have to do it the way I do it. You don't have to do it the way the famous preacher you know does it. None of that matters. God knows who you are. Just let the Lord move through you. Amen? I mean, it can be as simple as, I'll be praying for you. Just like that. You know? So don't let the enemy stop you because all authority has been delegated to the church. Now let's go back to Ephesians chapter 1. And look at God's mightiest work. This is often this passage here, and there's one particular verse, I think it's verse 19, but they call it the most powerful verse in all of Scripture. It actually took four Greek words that all mean power to describe what took place. And they're four separate Greek words. And we'll look at that in a little bit. But Ephesians chapter 1. Verse number 15 says this, "For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, the people of God, I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." So he heard of their faith and he heard of their love and he started praying for them ceaselessly. Most people pray for people that don't know the Lord ceaselessly, and then once they know the Lord, they quit. But Paul didn't say, I heard you weren't saved. He said, I heard of your faith and your love, and I've been praying for you ever since. And look what he prays. He says in I like this too. He does not cease to give thanks for them. That beats complaining about your church. Or your whatever. Amen? I mean, give thanks. Give thanks. I mean, find something to be thankful for. If the coffee's too strong, it means Shane made it. You can be thankful for something else. Okay? But I mean, be thankful. Give thanks. Lord, I just thank you for the church. I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you how you're increasing. Lord, thank you that you're increasing faith and love. Amen? One of the greatest testimonies we've had out of this church from people over and over and over again is how the people that come in that are visitors are loved. It's a powerful testimony. I mean, it's been constant. Even out of people that, like if we do an event and people that don't even go to church come, you guys are actually happy. We've been sauced in the Holy Ghost. We're dipped. You know what I mean? Anyway, all right. So, verse 17, and this is the Amplified that I'm reading out of, just so you know. He said, "For I always pray to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Say this with me. I receive the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Okay. And then I like the Amplified here because it explains, it amplifies. It says, of insight into mysteries and secrets. You're not, certain areas of your life are not supposed to remain a secret forever. You're supposed to have insight into. So, and this is a matter of faith. Have you ever, this is something that's, and I'm gonna hit this, and this is not me being mean, I just disagree with it, and I want you to hear it and see if I'm right or not on this. But there's something that's common that I've heard go through the churches at times where people talk about their new normal. They talk about their new normal. So something tragic will happen, and they then define it as their new normal. Is that a scripture? See, the fight of faith doesn't just put up with normal. Can I just help you with something? Any old unbeliever can just do normal. We're not just like the world. We're to be stand out different than the world. Now, that doesn't mean you don't have issues that you're facing. But what it does mean is that if you're fighting the fight of faith, you look at the issue that has come against you and you begin to fight the fight of faith against that thing. You begin to enforce what Christ has done in your life in putting his resurrection and victory within you, engaging the enemy and driving him out. Okay, and there's actually scripture for this. You know, Brother Hagin, this was one of his favorites, but he would talk about psalming and hymning and spiritual songing, and he would then demonstrate it. He could not sing worth a lick. Okay, but he would not, so he wouldn't sing. He hired singers, which was smart. And so, but he would kind of rhyme a little bit or just speak a poem, almost an ode. And one of the things I noticed that would come out of him frequently was, put the devil on the run and have a lot of fun. And I used to hear that and think, what is he saying? The devil is a pain. I'm not having fun. And it's because I was ignorant. And this would go over. And then one day I was reading James. Submit therefore to the Lord, resist the devil, and he will put the devil on the. And while you're doing it, don't look like you've been baptized in lemon juice. Have fun. Smile. Right? Just smile. You know, we just did, leading up to Christmas, we do a family night. On Friday nights is our family night. So we're doing Christmas movies. No Hallmark. I draw the line. I use my authority. All right, anyway, I'll grow up one day. Okay, so I have gone into Hobby Lobby, though, and there are men here that won't. So I know I'm doing okay. Anyway, so we just watched Elf. Elf, okay? And Elf is one of the dumbest movies on the planet. Like, dumb, funny, you know, it's just silly is all it is, okay? And there's this one part where he's in a store, and the manager is there, and he thinks, because this guy is dressed up like an elf, that he's there to work with Santa Claus. And the manager is this guy who's just, he's like, what are you doing? And then he's talking to him and stuff like this, and finally, some of you wonder where I'm going with this, but it will tie into the smiling thing. And anyway, so he's, and the elf, the guy elf, is standing there just smiling the whole time. Just fine. And the manager goes, why are you smiling? He goes, smiling's the best. I love smiling. It's my favorite. That's it. He had no real reason. You should make smiling your favorite. Right? Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. Which means the depression of the enemy is your weakness. Amen? I grew up in a home where we joked about everything. I mean, almost to a fault. You know, everything was a joke. I mean, my dad, he raised me on the Three Stooges. Comedy for me has been messed up for years. We watched some movie one time, and this guy got in a car accident, and it was a slapstick movie, and he was dead on the side of the road. He was laying there, and he literally kicked a bucket. And I'm real little, and my dad is howling, laughing, and I'm going, what? He kicked a bucket. I didn't know kick the bucket. It's funny now. In other words, we should have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. Nothing should be secret from us that we need to know. God is not withholding from you the light you need for your freedom. Come on, you got to lodge that in your belief system. Because what we do is we do, and this is where false doctrines come up, new normal. That doesn't sound like fight the good fight of faith. That sounds like I've yielded to something that's happened, and I don't understand why, and it's not fair, and I wish it would go away, and now I'm going to beg God in prayer. That's not what you want to do. God is not the one who has been stealing, killing, and destroying in your life. It is the enemy. Jesus, in fact, let's go over to John chapter 10, verse 10. This is not in my notes, but we need to look at this verse. Can you put that up, Caleb, on the screen? John chapter 10, verse 10. Okay, there it is right there. You need to mark this in your Bible, circle it, put stars around it. Jesus makes a dividing statement right here. He separates himself from the devil. And he says, the thief does not come except to what? Steal, kill, destroy. And then he says, I have come that you may have what? Life, and that you may have it. That's what you need to go to when stealing, killing, and destroying start showing up. I know who you are, devil. You ain't doing this to me. Oh, no, you don't. In the name of Jesus, and you go to war. Does that make sense? When these things try and show up that are stealing, killing, and destroying, listen to me. I want you to hear this, and I want you to think about it, okay? I don't want you to just write it off. But some people have more faith in Job's boils than they do Jesus' stripes. And I will just say this to you. Unless you're running Job through the filter of Jesus, you cannot understand it. Come on. I know. Did you hear that cow? That sacred one, man. You just. Job didn't have Jesus. There's a whole lot Job didn't know. And if your total understanding of the enemy and Satan is based on the book of Job, you're falling way short. Now, you're saying that the book of Job is not the word of God? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that the Word of God is progressive revelation. And when Jesus came, he didn't say, hey guys, I'm here. Look back to Job to see if what I'm doing is right. He said what? He said, I am the exact expression of the Father. So if you can show me where Jesus destroyed somebody, I'll agree with you that it was him that did it. I'm not nervous. The enemy is the one, and religion has at times sided in many areas with the enemy. And when that happens, you're always going to have a lack of faith, a lack of strength, a lack of ability. Why? Because you're now focusing on something that is not what Jesus represented. And there is, I've read the book of Job, I've read through it. There are many good things in there, but there's also a whole lot of, we don't know what's going on. Don't you love it when God shows up in the middle of that? Hey, Job, how did I make this animal? All of a sudden, Job's going, How do you know if God shows up when you've been questioning him? you're going to go, it's going to be a, you know, not even a Jeopardy moment. It'll just be a blank stare, you know. Is Jesus the exact expression of the Father? He is the express image. So anything outside of what you see Jesus doing and saying and performing, you need to resist as the enemy. Amen? You need to resist it. You need to come against it. You need to stand up in your authority and fight back. And that's where, well, we're seeing this insight into mysteries and secrets. Now, don't just throw out what I said. You say, well, I don't know about this and that. Listen, go back and read your Bible. Go back and read the New Testament. Look at it. Study it. Find out what God is saying in His Word. Amen? And believe for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation to bring you illumination and light in those areas. Okay? Don't just stone the messenger. All right. Insight into mysteries and secrets and the deep and intimate knowledge of Him. Verse 18, by having the eyes of your heart flooded with light. Does that sound like we need to struggle with light? Come on, we got to believe this, all right? So let's exercise our faith. Let's just do this. My eyes are being flooded with light. Satan hates this, man. He does. He hates it. Why? Because this isn't about one person getting revelation. It's about the body of Christ getting it. It's one thing to have an annoying preacher going all over the world just messing with him. It's another thing to have the whole body of Christ rise up in the authority that's theirs. It's a whole nother level of wreck for the enemy. Amen? So, flooded with light. So what do we know that we are, or look at what we are to know and have flooded light on? The hope which we are called to, our calling, the riches and glory of the glory in His inheritance in us, the riches of the glory of His inheritance in us. And it also, in verse 19, we'll see, lists the dimensions of His power as demonstrated in His mighty strength. So you're to be flooded. You're supposed to know your call. You're supposed to understand your rich inheritance. And we'll see in verse 19 that you're supposed to understand and have a working understanding and revelation of the dimensions of God's power that He placed within you out of the resurrection of Christ. Those things. Let's look at verse 19. This is where it gets a lot of fun. Verse 19 says, and so that you may know and understand, see that? Know and understand what is the immeasurable. That's why use that word? This is the Amplified here that I'm reading. The immeasurable and the unlimited and the surpassing greatness of His power in and for us. See, you don't even realize how powerful you are. You know, you're like that superhero movie you saw. You're just random, you know. You don't really have any control over what you got. You don't even really know what it is. So you accidentally fry stuff you shouldn't. Until somebody teaches you how to understand the power and focus that power and control it. Amen? Okay, watch this. This is good. In and for us who believe, say, I believe, as demonstrated in the working of His mighty strength. So this power has already been demonstrated. All right, there are four Greek words used for power in this verse. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power? One of them, that first word power is dunamis. Toward us who believe according to the working, which is energeia, of His might or mighty power. Mighty is kratos or kratos, power, which is ischus, ischus. There are four different Greek words used to describe that power in that verse. This is the only place this is done in Scripture. The only place. What does this verse mean? There was a day when all of God's ruling power, all of God's endowed power, all of God's inherent power were put into the form of energy. That was the day Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Listen to this. More power was displayed that one day than had ever been displayed before. Did you know it says that the Bible, in the Bible, that the universe was formed by the fingers of God? And it says that the earth was formed by the hand of God. Do you know the Bible says that God, that Jesus cast out demons through the finger of God? So in other words, God went, demon. There he went. But did you know that when Christ was raised from the dead, it says his arm was used? Because why? Watch this. All the devil had accomplished, all of humanity, in one act, in his death, burial, and then the resurrection, God pulled up all of humanity up out of sin. Just like that. With his arm. This is the difficult part for people that don't get saved, because their sin's already been paid for. That don't receive it. But in that one act, God took away the power of the enemy. That one act. Where Adam, the type of Christ, was sold me out, the anti-type brought me back in. In other words, I became a slave to sin through my father Adam, but I became a child of righteousness through my brother Jesus and Father God. In other words, what the devil had worked all those years, Jesus went, bam. I went, Lord, yeah, I received that, and then resurrection. Whew. And I'm clean. Not like kind of clean, like squeaky. Not a trace of unrighteousness in me. Now, if all you see is my flesh, oh, that's easy. I can pick you apart too. But if you see me in the Spirit, it's no longer Sean who lives, but Christ who lives in me. Now, see, you got to put yourself in there and make it yours. Why? All this power, four Greek words, all this power, and God goes, whoop. And the enemy's just wiped. So now what does the devil have to do to the church? Keep them ignorant. Tough. Not in Billings, Montana, and not here. Come on. You got to get that fight in you. No, you're not taking my family, devil. Sorry. I mean, I'm not really sorry. You're sorry. You're not getting any of them. I plead the blood over all of them. Protect him, spirit, soul, and body. And when you begin to understand your authority, you will get flat mouthy with the devil. See, the church has been taught to fear the devil, when in all reality, the devil is afraid of you and who lives in you. I never see Jesus look at the disciples and go, "What do you think we should do? That guy's got a lot of devils." I mean, look at them. And demons were not running up to Jesus going, boo, boogity woogity, you know, none of that stuff. They were running, these people that were demon possessed, one guy had a legion of demons. A legion. I didn't think you can get a legion of grapes in you. Let alone, I mean, how do you pack all that many demons? And this guy came running to Jesus and bows and worships him. With a legion of demons inside of them. How powerful are they? Why couldn't they stop that? He lives in you. There's accounts of Smith Wigglesworth ministering. Come on, I'm believing for this stuff. Him ministering in a church and demons going, wah! Freaking out and trying to run out of the building. He runs and tackles them. I mean, talk about a service where visitors will come back. What happened to that church? You don't want to go back there, man. That dude, he will tackle you. It's our new evangelism tool. Marketing technique. Oh, we got ushers, man. We'll hold them down. That's right. We'll get them out. They don't belong in people anyway. That's off limits. They don't belong in you. They don't belong in your neighbor. They don't belong anywhere around here. This ground, this place, every place that the sole of your foot treads, you have authority. Amen? Amen. And we have that authority. Praise the Lord. For whom did Jesus do all of this? It certainly was not for himself. He had no sin of his own, so he had no need for redemption. He did all of this for us. What is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe? That is what Isaiah says in his redemptive chapter. The arm of the Lord, the exceeding greatness of his power, is revealed to those who believe the report. God made the universe and the earth for his own benefit. No one watched him do it. He redeemed us from Satan for our benefit. When we believe the gospel, we receive the benefits of the exceeding greatness of God's power that raised Jesus from the dead. Romans chapter 8, verse 11 tells us that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us and quickens our mortal body. Since there was enough power to raise Jesus from the dead, surely there is enough power in us to get rid of cancer, ulcers, or another form of sickness that Satan might throw our way. We have received into our inner being the exceeding greatness of God's power. This power not only raised Jesus from the dead, but it also set him at the right hand of God in heaven. In other words, there was such an overwhelming display of God's power in raising Jesus from the dead that this actually was the mightiest work of God ever recorded. The resurrection was opposed by Satan and all his cohorts. However, his forces were confused and defeated by our Lord Jesus Christ, who arose, ascended, and is now seated at the right hand of the Father, far above them. Colossians chapter 2, verse number 15 says this: having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them. If you read the previous three or four verses from verse 11, and we put this verse in context, it says in verse 11 that we are circumcised in Christ, that we are buried and raised with him, that we are made alive and forgiven. We are declared innocent of the accusations contained in the written code. And verse 15, we are liberated from hostile spiritual forces. You have been liberated from hostile spiritual forces. So when they come to visit, you go, no, I'm not signing for that package. You don't belong here. You don't understand, devil, where you've stepped now. You have now walked into an area that has been blood washed, that is sanctified, set apart. You are now trying to touch a child of the Most High God. And you need to know this, that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Come on, this is not just for me. This is for you to do when the enemy comes knocking. How many have realized the enemy comes knocking? Okay? In looking over the previous verses, prior to verse 15, one might have thought that they were the climax of Paul's argument and that all had now been said. The believer's salvation was, after all, complete and their life in Christ assured. But there remains something important for Paul to say. Not only have believers been forgiven and the cursed bond canceled, the effects of Christ's death on the cross surpass even so great a result. In addition to all the foregoing, this is a commentary, this is not how I write, his death also had drastic implications for that order of spiritual beings previously referred to. So not only, what he's basically saying is this, you would think that our salvation and forgiveness and redemption through Christ would be enough, but he doesn't stop there. He goes ahead and disarms your enemies. He disarms them. If you're going into a fight with somebody with no arms and you have arms, you're in a good place. Okay? You're gonna win. It's a boxing match. Your enemy has no arms. Stop letting him talk you into defeat. Because that's all he's doing. He's talking you into defeat. So these rulers were mentioned in Colossians 1:16 and 2:10, and they are defined as thrones, powers, rulers, and authorities. In 2:15, Colossians 2:15, Paul lays hold of a battle image to describe how the hostile powers and authorities among them have been disarmed and how God made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. As in the previous verses, this too is potent language. So in other words, what Jesus did, not you see it in Ephesians, you see it in Colossians. He destroyed the power of the enemy. He destroyed it. Now, if I had another hour, we can go into the next part. But I don't. He destroyed the power of the enemy. Come on, we need to do this before we go. And we need to declare this. I'm going to go over to Ephesians 1 in the Amplified again. But we need to declare this. I'm praying this over you. I've prayed this prayer for this church for years. And it's happening step by step by step by step. But we need to really extend our faith here and believe God to get more wisdom and revelation in these areas. Amen. And what do we know about God? We know that as we do this, what's coming? A flood of light. Insight into mysteries and secrets. Now, sometimes that insight comes through a correction from the Lord with needed repentance by us. Because we're not seeing things right, so we need to make adjustments. Sometimes it's a simple thing as like if you're dealing with a difficult situation with somebody else, the Lord will give you understanding about that situation. You can make that adjustment and then it'll dissipate. But one thing's for sure, if we're going to continue to walk in revelation and live in freedom, then we need to stay focused and not quit. Don't let the enemy talk to you. I'll just say it to you like this. Don't let the enemy out-talk you. Amen? Don't let him. Don't let him control your thinking. Don't let him keep you up at night. If you're awake and you haven't been able to go back to bed because the enemy, you got these thoughts rolling through your mind, say, all right, devil, if you want to be up, I'm going to be up. Open up your Bible and just to start reading. But don't call your friend and complain to them about it and get them to, you know, bring over a cool cloth and, you know, comfort you in your, you don't need comfort in the battle. You need to go ahead and slap the devil so hard in the head, he wonders which direction is out. Now, see, people hear that and they go, you're crazy. No, I'm just sanctified. I just understand. I know this about the devil. If you give him an inch, he'll take a mile. This fight of faith is every day. And you notice it's a fight of faith, not a fight of emotion, not a fight of feeling, not a fight of any of that stuff. It's a fight of faith. What does that mean? That means I walk by faith and not by sight. That means I live by faith. Amen? So say it with me. We are receiving from the spirit of wisdom and revelation. We will receive insight into secrets and mysteries. Our eyes are being flooded with light. So every time a thought comes to your mind or a feeling comes to you, guys, listen, I'm talking about spiritual warfare here. I'm talking about a thought coming to your mind and you getting a feeling. Every time it comes to you, you stand up in the middle of that and go, light is flooding in. It's flooding in. I'll have a flood of light. And your natural mind will go, it's been 2 days, man. And you say, shut up. Light is flooding in. Come on. You say, what are you doing? I am doing what the evolutionists refuse to believe is there. I'm dealing with the reality of the spirit realm. I am not a conglomeration of electrical charges and atoms being morphed together over billions of years. I am not that stupid. I said, I'm not that stupid. I am not that stupid. I realize there is a spiritual battle going on, and I have to identify who my enemy is and how he speaks. And every time he steps up to say something that's contrary to what God said about me, in the middle of that, I step up and go, no, 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 greater is he who's in me than he who's in the world. And when he comes to you, he says, you're going under, you're not going to make it, you're not going to fulfill your course, you need to do like Paul said, I'm going to finish my course. I'm going to go all the way. I'm going to complete everything that God has given me to do. And I'm going to do it by the grace of God, not in my own strength. I may feel weak right now, but you know what? I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So devil, go ahead. Do all the talking you want to. But the strength that lives in me is not contingent on how I feel. It's contingent on what God put in Jesus when he raised him from the dead. And you know the nice thing about that is God didn't just look down and see Jesus. He saw every one of his men and women. And he went, there they are. I'm raising them all. Amen? Did you get anything? Hallelujah. Well, bless you guys. We'll see you Sunday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.